God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to guide us. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish our walk of life in this world as God's redeemed children in Jesus is from the Old Testament lesson from the prophet Zephaniah at the third chapter. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. So far, God's word for our consideration, our reflection, our growth as God's children living in this world to strengthen us. We're in the midst of a wonderful time of the year. We're in the midst of the season of Christmas. And yet, our eyes, our lives can be easily swayed away from the focus of Jesus as a babe of Bethlehem, as a Savior who came to give us life everlasting and forgiveness of sins. I'm sure you've all heard, or maybe you haven't, about Carl Wallenda, the great high wire person who walked on the great wire. He was teaching his grandson to follow him, 7-year-old. He taught him all the tricks of the trade. He taught him how to keep his big toe steady on the line, on the wire, and his heel on the inside. He told him how to hold the pole tightly, his arms, his elbows tightly to the waist. He taught him everything, but he said the most important thing is that you have your eye focused on an unwavering point over there across from the wire. That way you'll make it across. Sometimes in our lives during this season, during this Christmas season, we forget about who Jesus really is and about what Christmas is all about. It's about the coming of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And here, Zephaniah the prophet was coming among God's people. God's people who were rebelling against him. God's people who didn't care about one another. God's people who had their only self-giving thoughts concerning their only lives. It sounds like our day today. But Zephaniah was writing in B.C. 627. Those words that apply to God's children back then who were rebelling and going against God himself apply to us as well. Because those words talk about a rescue. Talk about rescuing us from the waters of sin. Talk about rescuing us from the rebellion that we have been mired in against God himself. God's word comes to us, precious people who are living in the 21st century. It's as good back then as it is today. God's word is an ever-moving word that tells us about who Jesus is and tells us that our sins are forgiven and that we're washed clean. Because God is telling us that he's coming for the rescue of all people. As he told his word through the prophet Zephaniah, going to an ungodly people, a people of Israel, God's own chosen, who have turned away from him, who built that golden calf and followed it, God's precious people. Zephaniah was telling them how precious they were. He's telling us how precious we are, even though we sin against God in thought, word, and deed. You know, I always try this in sermons that I preach. I want everybody who has Everyone who has kept the fifth commandment, I want you to raise your hand. The fifth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. Uh-huh. You know what Luther says about that? He says that anyone who has hurt his brother or sister has gone against the fifth commandment. Because the fifth commandment is to lift up one another. We've all sinned against the fifth commandment. My wife can tell you about the sins that I've committed against her that are committed against the fifth commandment. But Jesus came to take away our sin, to wash us thoroughly. That's what Zephaniah was talking about. He was talking about that rescue. He was talking about that redemption that we have. He's talking about the peace that we are given and the joy that we are given. Do you know that the Apostle Paul was writing the letter to the Philippians while in prison, and he knew that his death was drawing near, and still he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Even in our problems, even in the trials that we endure, the Lord gives us the strength to say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. In August of 17, our fifth grandchild was born. She was born 2 pounds, 6 ounces. A little feather to our daughter and son-in-law. And our daughter had lots of problems. But the Lord was rejoicing because the Lord brought that child along. And even though she's 15 months old, she's only about 15 pounds. But she's still a gift of God. This last January, we were given the news that Karen's younger brother, Fred, died at age 62. Celebrated his 62nd birthday at the beginning of January, and by January 27th, the Lord called him home. During all that time, there was rejoicing because Fred knew the Lord. Fred knew who his Savior was. So there's no question. He comes to us to tell us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And as he does, he instills in us that joy. That joy knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross that I'm wearing was fashioned by an elder of St. Matthew Luther Church of Mapleton, Iowa. An elder who was very close to us. I had the fortune of celebrating with him the death and the death of his wife in the Lord in 2004, and just recently in the last couple of years, Herb was also called to be with the Lord. Such joy, knowing that they knew the Lord Jesus Christ and that they would be in heaven. And we've got the opportunity to share that with others, to share it with our families, to share it with our friends, to share it with our neighbors, to share it with everybody else. One simple thing is saying grace at a meal. Even if it's in a crowded restaurant, even if it is at a grand big dinner or wedding reception or anything else, you've got the prime opportunity to say grace at that meal and give that as an illustration to others. We were in a restaurant in Redmond called the Smoking Oak. Karen likes to sit so she can see people coming in the restaurant, so I get the other side. And I was watching as people would come in and sit down, and there was this booth of four ladies. And as they were brought their appetizer, they all bowed their head. And I assumed they were saying grace, because they were all there. That's an impression, that's an illustration that we have, that we can tell others about Jesus. So in the midst of all, in the midst of life, Jesus comes. In the midst of death, Jesus comes. In the midst of our crammed calendars during the season of Advent, Jesus comes and tells us who he is. And in the midst of all, Zechariah and Zephaniah has come to tell us about that great gift of life that we have and the forgiveness of sins, and to tell us that Jesus died and rose again for each and every one of us. May this season of Advent continue to witness to each and every one of us of the great gift that God gives to us in the babe of Bethlehem. In Christ's holy name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.